I'm getting threats as well.
What sort of threats?
I did get death threats, you should die, people talking about my child, hope something happens to you.
I'm sorry about that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You okay? Do you need a second?
No. I want people to see the reality of this.
And just like that, the reality podcast is back, baby. I've missed y'all. But look, you know the drill. This podcast is completely unfiltered. All the tea will be spilt. Laughter will be had. Drama will be discussed. So welcome to the Madhouse, because you know I don't hold back. Make sure you subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And give us a rating if you're listening on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, on today's episode, we're talking about my favourite reality show of all time. Celebrity Big Brother is back on our TV screens. And I'm not going to lie, it's a good season. You know, it's heating up already. So I thought, why not get some Big Brother royalty in the studio to discuss all the drama in the house? It's Trish, everybody!
Yay! Yes to Big Brother royalty.
Trish, I had to get you in the studio. Like, I loved you in last season. I loved your energy in the house, your honesty, your rawness. Mm. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing better. Yeah. I think the more time I have, the more I'm realizing how traumatized I was. And the more I'm realizing how much of healing I've got to do. But you know what? I'm recovering and I'm finding my voice and I'm happy to be here somewhere where it's quite unfiltered and can allow someone like me to express her views. So,
but when you say traumatized, what are you traumatized by? Because I feel like in the house you had a great run. Everyone loved you. Like, you were a fan favorite.
Yeah, but that when you're in the house, you don't know that.
Really?
When you're in the house.
No, but you must have known, because you know when it's eviction night and then it's like Trish and everyone's like, yeah! Like that kind of, you didn't have a clue that like everyone loved you on the outside.
I think on the day that I came out, I think that was the first time I realised, they're actually cheering for me. Oh, they're actually saying Trish for the win. Like, oh my God, these people actually like me because I've been getting hell in here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think you kind of assume that how your housemates treat you is how the public are also receiving you.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like...
And how do you feel your housemates were treating you?
Oh, they were awful, weren't they? You know what? Actually, no. There was really good moments. I had good friends in the house. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
But you had Yin Ran. You did make some mates from there, though.
I did make, some mates. Some people were just in the house, mate. Their friendships stayed in the house. But then there has been some people who I'm still in touch with till today. People like Yin Ran. Sometimes I speak to Matty and sometimes Noki. Mm-hmm. But me and Yin Ran, I would say if I've got a friend from the house that I could say, okay, that's actually a friendship that I've kind of sustained, is definitely Yin Ran. That's my boo.
Oh, yeah. She's funny. But you said traumatic. Why traumatic?
I think it's traumatic when you experience a lot of gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And I think for someone like me, it's traumatic because I'm so self-aware and I'm quite hyper-vigilant. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if this is something a lot of other black women experience, but I think when you're kind of used to being discriminated upon, and when you're someone who takes up space fearlessly, you've encountered a lot of people being uncomfortable by your confidence or your security. And then you kind of develop kind of vigilance to kind of protect yourself so that you can pick it up when it's happening. And I was picking up a lot of things, but it was hard to kind of address it because nobody actually just admits to it. Everybody just like, hi. You know, they may have finished nominating you out there, but then they're coming out, everyone's clapping. after we do each nomination, everyone's clapping.
Yeah.
I used to hate that so much. I'm not going to lie. I spoke about, like, can we
You thought it was quite fake.
It's not I thought it was quite fake. It is pretentious. Yeah. It's not like an opinion. Like, I think that's a fact. Like, we're clapping for everyone that's nominated, but we've all nominated each other.
Yeah.
Like, I knew at that point, like, I keep getting nominated, so I'm not trying to clap for people who potentially keep nominating me. I don't want to ease you into, I don't want to ease you out your guilt in a way. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like the clapping thing stemmed from that, from us not feeling so bad about what we have to do in there.
Yeah. And in your exit interview, you spoke about, like, microaggressions in the house.
Whew, Lord.
Do you stand by that? Do you still feel like that's something you received in there?
I 100% stand by it. 1,000%. Like, I probably even stand by it more. And I wish there was more of a conversation. And I think I wish I had the opportunity to also finish my journey like everyone else did, to be able to kind of get some sense of closure. Because I think what happened is that the housemates who did, like, inflict that upon me used past tweets to justify that. But you didn't see that person in the house. You can't say you saw me with that behavior. Therefore, I was deserving of what you were perpetrating.
Hold on. So when you say you didn't finish your journey, is this obviously you? So the
me not doing my late and live.
Yeah.
It was part of me not finishing my journey.
Yeah.
Me not doing my, is it press conference?
Mm-hmm.
Was a part of me not finishing my journey. Me not attending the finals was another part of me not finishing my journey.
And look, because you weren't at the finals, right? Some people online were basically saying, is this because she's unwell or is this because of the old tweets? So obviously for context, some of your old tweets were unearthed, which people said were racist, homophobic, and you've apologized about that.
Yeah.
But you would say that that's the reason why? Is that the reason why? Or was it because you were unwell? Because some people don't know why.
I was given a lot of multiple reasons, which none of them seem to make sense at the moment, you know? And that's the reason why I can publicly speak the way I'm speaking, because I know what I'm talking about. I know what happened, and I know that it wasn't clear till now. It isn't very clear. Do you understand? Mm. And even certain reasons that I was given when I clarified with other housemates, they're like, no, we didn't have a problem with that. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of, very passiveness in the way it was dealt with. I have to say clearly, I was not handled accurately. I can say that confidently, unfiltered.
Yeah. So hold on. So you feel like you didn't finish your journey because of those old tweets? Because at the moment, it's kind of like 50-50. Some people are like, was she just unwell? So she wasn't able to partake? Or was it because of the old tweets?
I want to be clear. I wanted to be there. I'm not someone that shies away, even if I've done something wrong. I'm very accountable. Mm. I can hold my own. If, let's say, even if I'm wrong about something, let's say I've done something and I can't see the wrong I've done in it just yet, I will stick in my wrong and strong at that moment. But when I realise that I'm wrong, I will also go just as hard in admitting that actually, that was kind of weird of me. Like, I will, wherever I stand, I'm going to stand strong, because as long as I think I'm doing the right thing, I'm going to do it quite proudly.
Yeah.
I think I'm not a coward. And I think there's a cowardness when you're doing something, but you're kind of hiding behind it. And I'm not. So I wasn't sick. I wasn't unwell. I think what probably would have made me unwell, especially mentally, is how it was handled.
On Twitter, I think, was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday. You basically, let me actually get the tweet up right now. I actually need to read the tweets because the receipts are out there. You said what you said, you have to stand by it.
Listen, I'm standing on business.
you have to stand on business when you tweet it, Trish.
I'm standing on business, I meant it.
You have to stand on business.
I stand on business.
Right, so you said that you were thrown under the bus to cover up failures by alleged third-party companies. And that's obviously you basically talking about the companies which are supposed to go through your old tweets ahead of you appearing on a reality show.
Yeah.
Now, Trish, some people will probably say, well, girl, you just should have tweeted it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, because there's one part here of saying, all right, well, it's their fault because they didn't pick up the tweets. But then there's another part of like, Maybe you also should have deleted it yourself before you went on. Obviously, as you don't have those views anymore, maybe before you went on the show, you should have just deleted it. So what do you say to that?
You know what? I think there's two parts of this. Don't get me wrong. Two things can be true at the same time. One could be maybe you should have deleted it yourself. Maybe you shouldn't have tweeted it. Maybe three things at this point is right. You should have deleted it yourself, shouldn't have tweeted it, and it also should have been picked up.
Yeah.
All things can be correct. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I think first is to assume that I should have deleted it, which means that I have to still kind of identify with those views to be like, oh, maybe I tweeted something quite sinister about this certain group, or I said something, like, let me look into it. You're so far removed from it that it no longer exists in your world.
Yeah.
Like, Will, if I asked you, what did you say 5 years ago, would you remember?
But you know what it is? I think it's that when you know you're going on such a big show, this is what people do. They will go through everything you've written. So you kind of like have to go through and check.
Absolutely. And the thing is, now I get to be accountable for that.
Yeah.
But also, if you have a professional, if you have people who are professional saying, we do this, this is our job, we're going to do a check. Mm. Oh, look, you're okay, you're all clear. What do you do? Do you believe them when you're like, actually, I'm going to go back to 100,000 tweets and look because I don't quite believe you've done your job. You just assume everybody's doing what they do well.
Mm.
Do you not?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, at the end of the day, you've apologized about it. You've taken accountability for it.
And that's another thing. Mm. I need people to understand you. And sorry, I don't want to be condescending or patronizing. But also, I don't want to be patronized all the time. Mm. I've apologized because that was my first initial reaction, is to genuinely be like, I'm mortified. I feel awful. People shouldn't have to see this, especially in this day and age, especially with what I represent now. I acknowledge that. I'm like, wow, I'm shocked at that. I'm disappointed at that. Therefore, that's what the apology is for. That's where that's like, I can't believe I missed this. But also I have to be like, well, hold on. I was owed a sense of protection here, which is why reality stars or people who are going on reality TV get this done, because the reality is people's views change. People say dumb things. And when we were the generation of the internet being new, we weren't quite savvy with it. We didn't know like the kind of effect it would have. We're still kind of like test and trial. You know, everyone's been a bit open, wild, humor, perspective, sinister. All these things plays into it. You don't know that it comes back to you later. But however, TV shows do, TV programs do. That's why they do this check. And like, if you're going to put this procedure into part of the process, then do it properly. Am I wrong in saying that? I can do my part by apologizing, by saying that shouldn't have happened. But where's your part in this? And this is what I mean by being thrown under the bus, because it's like, I own my part. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I could have come out here and be like, you know what? It's all fake. It's made up. But that's not who I am.
How did your fellow housemates take it? Did anyone express anything? Did anyone have a conversation with you in private and just say, look, I wasn't happy? Or like, did you... Or was everyone quite maybe like didn't speak about it?
I think at first, I think Hallie was probably the most supportive. Hallie reached out to me, was like, are you okay? It's hell out there. How's your mental health? I'm worried about you. I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't happy with those tweets. But the Trish that I know.
She was honest.
Oh yeah, Hallie was very honest. This is why I appreciate people like Hallie and Olivia. Don't get me wrong. I always said that there's a part of them that reminds me of me, because we're able to just this is really what I think. This is where I stand. And if I'm wrong, then I'll change my mind when I realize I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Hallie was very honest, but also she was also like, that's not the you that I met. You were supportive. And because me and Hallie spoke about trans women quite a lot, trans community quite a lot, because we have that in common because of my brother's trans, and her coming out saying she's a trans woman, that was very inspiring to me. And I remember I whispered to her, I'm so proud of you because my brother's trans. And so we kind of connected on that. So I think for her to see tweets that probably oppose that is like, wait, hold on. But however, this is how I've experienced someone. And that counts more than anything else. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There were housemates. I think... I'm trying to remember to be unfiltered.
What about Jordan? Because you and Jordan were really cool in there. Like, did you ever speak to him after that? Did you ever have a conversation with him?
I think me and Jordan had a brief conversation on Instagram where I reached out to him. I congratulated him for the win. Mm. And he said something brief like, oh, yeah, I was kind of thinking about whether to contact you or not. Blah, blah, blah. I think you're... he was quite harsh. I'm not going to lie. He was a bit of a...
What did he say?
But he was quite harsh. But at the same time, he was like, you know what? Just give me time. But obviously, because I learned Jordan as well, I know that sometimes he can come across quite harsh, but then kind of take aback. I think in the house we had a few moments because we're both quite honest with each other, so yeah. we'll give it to each other.
And when he said, "Okay, give me time," did you ever speak again after? Did you?
No.
Did you connect? Did you follow each other on social media?
No, I followed him, but then when the time was longer than how long I'd known him in the house, when it was gone past 5 weeks, and then I'm seeing certain stuff, I'm like, now you're just taking a piss. Do you know what I mean? You cannot act like me, the person you know who I am, you know what I've done for you and how I've been there for you, but then you're interacting with people who are actively being quite vile towards me as well, and there's not a problem there.
Who was he interacting with?
I'll say like Dylan, I don't know if he interacted with Chanel, but I didn't see that people who were horrible in the house get as much flames and as much energy as people had towards me. So I felt like a lot of Jordan's reaction came from the fact that he, as Big Brother winner, he's got to protect his image as well. That's honestly what I think. And I also want to tell January fans, I don't care what you guys think, except if you're January fan and my fan as well. You guys, you can talk. But I think the ones who are just making noise and full of hate, I'm not interested in that because I got to experience these people. So I'm going to speak on that. I think with Jordan, it felt more like his reaction came from the fact that he has a certain image to protect. And I say that confidently because the same conversation that I had with Jordan in the house in regards to Henry, again, I don't know how much of it made it, but when I'm kind of like telling him off or being like, listen, you can't keep playing with someone's feelings like that. And then he'll do that. Oh, gosh, I'm such a horrible person. I know. And I think one day he said something like, oh, what are the viewers going to think? They're going to hate me now. Something along those lines. And I was like, Jordan, you do what's right by your friend and the viewers will follow when you're doing the right thing. But obviously at that point, I kind of became a bit more conscious that, oh, he cares about what the viewers think as well. So with that in mind, when my stuff's happening, I'm going to go back to that moment. Like, he's conscious. Do you know what I mean? Like, he may want to be naturally tactful because you are the Big Brother winner. There's a lot of responsibility. Heavy is a crown. That's fine. But I also get to say, actually, you prioritize maybe your reputation over my well-being. It may be selfish of me, but I still get to say it if that's my truth. And so I felt like that was more guided by that. Henry was more receptive, more open in the beginning, very encouraging of, oh, Trish, you know, I just give Jordan time. You know how he is, blah, blah, blah. And then he ghosted me. But apparently I'm not allowed to call it ghosting. Even though it's called ghosting, you can't call it that because that hurts the people who ghosted you's feelings.
Really?
So
when you say he ghosted you, in what way? He just never responded? He
stopped responding. We're supposed to meet up. And then he forgot that he was supposed to meet up with me. Again, I don't know if that was genuine.
When you say he forgot, did he message you on the day? Like, what was the situation?
No, I just messaged him on the day. I was like, oh, we organized to meet up because I think I had I had a meeting that day in London anyway. Even when we organized to meet up, I was like, look, I'm coming into London on this day. I'll meet up with so-and-so and then I'll meet up with you after. Yeah, cool, yeah. You know, can't wait to see you, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it was kind of like, we're going to talk about this when we see each other in person. Because on the phone, unfortunately on the phone, looking back, I probably should have spoken about me more. But again, I kind of let Henry speak about how they're experiencing the outside world. We talked about them, because I thought, when I see him in person, then we'll talk about my experience. And he was very much like, oh my gosh, Trish, it was just shocking to see the tweet because you're the most woke person I know. I was like, I understand, you know, but I can explain a lot, and so on. And it's like, okay, cool, let's talk in person. But we did have like a good hour conversation.
Yeah.
That's why I was shocked after when I'm like, wait, hold on, you're just gonna... What happened?
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like shit. It absolutely made me feel like shit. And it made me paranoid because I was like, oh, okay, now I'm thinking, are you doing this because of Jordan? Because you were pretty much open and telling me just to give him time. Now you've gone quiet on me. You're not responding to anything and kind of ignoring me with him. But I'm not allowed to speak on that because then people get angry. Like, no, I get to express that if it's happened. Do you know what I mean? And then at the same time, I think what I found really fake was whilst you're doing this to me, ignoring my existence, constantly interacting publicly with people who you know were very harsh to me in the house, but in like public posts, you're like, oh, me and Trish are sorting out things in private. She's so lovely. Why don't you say that to me then?
Were you actually sorting things out privately?
No, that's the thing. We wasn't talking. Like, you iced me out.
Damn.
So that's why I'm like... So now I'm looking at that, I'm like, And then everyone's like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Look, they said that they said they're sorting out things privately. And that's not true though. It's not true. Don't do that. And when you're doing that, I have to wonder, are you doing that for my image or for yours? Because this is kind of hurtful to see. Like, we haven't spoken.
Do you know what, Trish? I feel like at the moment you seem quite irate by the situation, but how do you actually feel about everything? Because obviously, look, obviously there was a lot of stuff online. There were messages coming towards you in that moment. This is the first time you've experienced, I'm guessing, maybe that level of social media scrutiny.
Yeah, absolutely. But
how do you feel? How's everything been since then?
I need people to understand, like, when I speak passionately, but don't confuse my passionate for lack of humanity. I'm a human being. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. I'm a human being and I can be, you can criticize me for the things that I do wrong, even if it's in my past, and I'll own it. But you have to understand that it has an effect on me as well. Like,
and how has it affected you?
Like, when I first came out, I was just kind of shocked from what I experienced in the house, having my paranoid thoughts validated that these people were saying these things about me. And then not getting the platform to speak like other people got to speak, that taken away was hurtful. And then receiving a lot of hate. Mm. Like, okay, because I am a black woman and I'm a feminist, I'm a lot of things that causes a lot of reaction. It's just controversial just by existing. Mm-hmm. I'm used to getting backlash for who I am today. What I'm not used to is having to justify the things I said, past comments, you know, so that was new to me. But also realizing that actually people who I love, people who know me, are going to see this. And so is that disappointment? I think I literally cried on the phone to the welfare team saying, I was like, my brother's going to see this. Like, and I've been one of my brother's biggest supporters, you know, my trans brother. And I was like, I don't want him to see this. And it just disappointed me. And then there was the fear of, because I'm getting threats as well.
What sort of threats?
I did get death threats, you should die, people talking about my child, hope something happens to you.
I'm sorry about that. Are you okay? Do you need a second?
No. I want people to see the reality of this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hide away. When I'm being passionate about something, I want it to be clear, because not many people speak this honestly. But I was scared to pick up my child from school for the first 2 weeks I came out. Because we live in Luton, so the majority of, especially the area I live in, is Asian people. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why is this narrative being driven out of me when that's not who I am? Mm. And I don't know what people think as they see this. I don't know what consequences can come from this, but I am scared. But just being scared and also thinking, am I going to be attacked? Because I don't know half the people that are sending me threats. Mm. They could be my neighbor. They could be, it could be anybody. And I remember when I finally was brave enough to do my son's school runs, I was really scared because his teachers, a lot of his school are Asian.
You were scared to do the school run.
I was mortified to do the school run. If you speak to my sister was doing it for a while. She was like, we're here for you. I'm going
to
stay longer.
So was it that, were you scared to leave your house just overall? Were you indoors? Yeah,
I didn't want to leave the house. So it wasn't even a thing of, oh, do I want to leave the house, but I'm scared. I didn't want to leave the house. But school runs is a responsibility. Those parental responsibility don't stop because you have. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They still have to carry on even if your mental state is like glitching.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you know what's interesting, right? Usually when people go on reality TV shows, like when you leave straight away, you think, you know, you're like, you need to be out and about on red carpets, being seen, being pictured. Okay. Do you feel like that was the situation, that was the case for you?
Oh, come on, well, you know it wasn't.
But do you feel like, part of this is that you've said that you didn't want to go. Yeah. But do you feel like, were you invited to the red carpets? Were you embraced by the scene? Do you feel like?
No, I wasn't embraced by the scene. I think actually on the first few hours when I come out, I was really embraced.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I did get lots of love from the scene. I mean, I always got lots of love from fans. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to take that credit away. But from the scenes, I did get some love. I was invited to like a film premiere. But I remember when the tweets came out, one of the invites that I got was like, oh, we realise we have no tickets anymore. You start to
see. Are you being serious?
Yeah. You start to see. You're like,
oh my God.
Okay.
So look, do you feel like you were cancelled? Because this is what it's... What do you think? Is this were you cancelled? Is it? Because look, at the end of the day, Trish, you have a lot of fans. Okay?
No, I do.
Like
yeah.
I said earlier, right? Yeah. On the show, people loved you.
Yeah.
Even when you came out, like I saw all the Big Brother super fans, like, we love Trish. I know you did like a Trishmas party where there were loads of Big Brother super fans there. Yeah. Like, people still love you up to this day on TikTok and everything.
I think I'll be taking away credit from the impact I made if I say I was cancelled.
Yeah.
I would say there was an attempt to really cancel me maliciously.
Mm. That, why do you think that then?
I think the type of conversation I brought into the house was very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And I think it's not the conversation. It's not the type of conversation we see on an everyday life.
Mm.
And we don't really give it platform to happen.
Yeah.
But because there was almost no choice but for it to take place because it was constantly reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, hearing that actually the public called it out and then I called it out and we didn't speak to each other. So it had to be something that had to be addressed.
Mm.
Microaggression, the way we treat black women, the way we treat women of colour, the way we treat people who are different.
Mm.
I think I challenged a lot of things with my existence in the house. Excuse me.
Mm.
And rightly so, some people don't want to talk about that. Some people are guilty of that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to see that being reflected upon themselves. And some people want to be able to carry on discriminating without someone making it all about race, as they say. Mm. And there I am, making it about race. I'm like, hey, I'm black. And people are being mean to me. Some people don't really want to take on to it. So then I think someone even called me a black Karen.
I've not heard that one before.
No.
Listen, I've seen messages, but a black Karen.
Exactly.
Yo.
I'm like, so how can I be making up something that you see happening? Do you know what I mean? And so I think heavy conversations that kind of trigger people can cause people to be quite malicious.
And you were vocal on Twitter yesterday about Gary Goldsmith, who has obviously just entered the Celebrity Big Brother house. You said you feel like he shouldn't have even been in there. Why?
Well, if I can't attend my late and live and all these other stuff because of past comments, but then there's someone who has a history of that and seem to kind of carry on want to discriminate or be perpetuating the sense of microaggression, why is he in the house? And he's not a celebrity, most importantly.
Hold on.
No.
Everyone's been saying this on TikTok.
No, he's not a celebrity. You should have just had one of us, the Big Brothers. Just put me back in there then. Do you know what I mean? At this point. Just put me back in.
No.
What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. So wait, what's his relation to the royal family again?
He's Kate's uncle.
Kate's uncle.
Yeah. Kate's uncle.
But he's obviously gone on the show and he said that, you know, Sharon Osbourne asked him, why did you accept the offer to come in here? And he said that he wanted to change the way he's perceived in the press. Do we feel like he's doing that at the moment?
Personally, I didn't even know he was in the press. No, this...
I
didn't...
No.
I did, if he didn't tell me he was Kate's uncle...
Please.
But then again, it's probably because I tend to not read...
Yeah.
The press quite a lot because they have a lot of negative perspective of people who I tend to like Meghan Markle. So I tend to kind of
Do you know what? When he first walked in through those doors, I thought, you know, cool guy, whatever. But then he started saying some things. You know, he was like, I'm a Tory at heart.
Why would you want to be a Tory at heart?
Oh my gosh. And then... He just started talking about Meghan Markle. Like, why are you spilling all your royal family tea? I personally feel like Is that the reason why he's gone on there? Has he gone on to boost his profile by spilling all the royal family tea? What did he say? He said he feels like Harry and Meghan should have their royal title stripped from them. I disagree.
You know what? He's got a lot to say for someone whose niece is hiding.
What?
No, and you know what? There's a lot of hypocrisy there. And these are the things that kind of like irritate me a little bit. Mm. Because he sat there and I think he said something like, oh, when Kate's ready to speak, she's going to speak. Mm. So you do respect Kate's privacy. Mm. You do understand that some people are entitled to privacy and should be able to vocalize within their own time. Why is that not extended to Meghan?
Yeah.
And or why is Meghan penalized for speaking in her own term?
I just don't understand. Meghan Markle is minding her business in the States, okay? But people love to keep her name in their mouth for no reason.
Did you see the part where he said he's actually never met her? That's the part that got me. So I'm like, so you have a lot to say for someone mm-hmm. you've never met. Mm-hmm. You've mm-hmm. never met them, but yeah. you have so much to say and you don't understand why they get to tell their story in their own time. Yeah. But then you tell us your niece is going to come out and tell her story in her own time. Mm-hmm. Like, why is there one expectation for one, but then one is not allowed that same kind of grace and timing and an opportunity? Like, yeah. he's got to go. Sorry, uncle.
He's got to go. Well, he's up for eviction this week because Sharon Osbourne put him up. What are we thinking? Do we think he's going to go this week? Do we think
he's going to go? I'm hoping he goes. You know, I think sometimes with the British public, you never know how they'll vote. It could go either way.
Yeah.
But I know I'm going to be voting him to go.
I think, do you know what?
Oh, no, his vote is saved now, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you know what it is? Yeah, I think with him, it's like, obviously, remember, what, I don't know, like Sharon brought in every single person who was at risk, David, Zizi, and him, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he was just like, oh, I don't want to be a celebrity. Hello, what show are you on? Celebrity Big Brother. And it's just like, and Sharon was like, I think you're lying. It's just like, are you really being genuine here? Yeah. I don't know. And it's
I think Sharon caught up on his insincereness.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what's your motive? What's your plan? I don't really understand him, what his vibes are, what he's looking for.
I love the way Ekin Su was like, where's Kate?
Where's she?
I'm like,
where's she at?
You asking all the right questions, girl. Literally. Had to say I love Ekin as well, since we're there.
Ekin, do you know what? Ekin's been good in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like Ekin's been playing the role of the interviewer. She's been asking people questions.
I think she's
holding
back a little bit as well, though. I'm sensing.
Do you know what? I don't know if she's holding back. I'm liking Ekin in there because she's asking all the right questions. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Go on.
I do feel like Ekin is being a little bit calculated. Mm. She's spending time more with the more famous contestants in the house, I feel. Mm. Like, you see even on day one when Sharon's like, oh, let me help you find your bedroom. Sit down and mind your business. Oh,
yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? I do feel like she's just like opening up to all the more famous people in the house. But I've not seen her sit down with Zizi. Do you know what I mean? I've not seen her sit down with some of the other... Do you get what I mean?
But the interesting thing about being in a Big Brother house is that, you know, we only get an hour of what's happening 24 hours. So she probably could have done that, but it just wasn't interesting enough to make the cut.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean? She, like, you never quite know how much other people have done, but you just know what they did do.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's why it's so important to judge people on what they do rather than what you think they may not have done because those scenes may have just not been interesting enough to make the cut.
Yeah, that's a good way. That's a good perspective as well, because obviously you've been in there. What are we thinking about Louis Walsh? No, I'm not going to lie. Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne being in at the same time is iconic.
It is.
Because of all the X Factor references and how the producers have got them to kind of like do like the judging and all of that stuff. Yeah. I can't lie. I love it. I loved X Factor. To be fair, I just think watching this series, it's just giving me like nostalgic, naughties.
It kind of brings you back there.
Yeah. And obviously those two have got so much showbiz stories. Like I think on the live stream last night, Sharon Osbourne was speaking about James Corden and apparently how like James Corden always names drops and all that stuff. But Louis Walsh, let's talk about that man.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I was so excited when I heard that Louis Walsh was coming on. Mm. But I think I've been a bit disappointed because he's kind of giving me Mean Girl vibe a little bit.
But that's who he is. That's who he was on the X Factor.
But I don't remember that. You know, okay, maybe I was being positively delusional.
Yeah,
but
that's...
I don't remember him being like... Maybe it's an adult in me. I'm just kind of like, that's kind of mean.
Remember, the vibes of Louis Walsh on The X Factor, I mean, the vibes of all of them was very like, it's cutthroat showbiz.
It is.
And I think that's the identity he's kept. We've obviously not seen him in TV in years, right? That's the identity he's kept. And like, I remember when they were kind of like choosing on like, oh, who to put in the fire or who to put at risk. And the way he was like, Zizi, I don't know her.
Yeah.
And then when he actually met Zizi, he was like, oh, what show are you on? Now, I just felt like that was a little bit condescending because it's like, you know, this is Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
You should not be sizing people people up on like in their resumes, like allow people to come and tell you.
Because how many people did you ask that?
Exactly.
Did you ask everyone that you didn't recognize?
Did you ask everyone you didn't recognize?
But it also seemed like Louis did do his homework though, because people would walk in and he'll be like, oh, that's so and so from so so. Oh, I know about that person. Oh,
I don't know. I feel like he would have been told.
He even let it slip that he knew that Sharon was coming in.
Oh, you know, yeah, I remember.
It's like, I was like, Louis's been using Google.
I remember that.
He's like on his job. Yeah.
Now, do you know what? I do feel like ZZ kind of clocked the energy.
She did.
Because remember the scene where ZZ went up to his bed and was kind of like trying to have conversation with him and all of that stuff? I was like, Sis is being smart here. But I'm like, in my head, I thought, is she just begging it with him because she knows he has the power? Because in that moment, I guess in that moment, she probably didn't know, why is it that he's able to choose that I'm at risk?
Yeah,
she probably thought, let me be nice to him.
Yeah.
So she went, and you could even see in her body language, by the way, Trish, see how she knelt down by the bed?
Yeah.
That almost, I feel, signified the fact that she's trying to, it's like, let me in, accept me, like, talk to me. And then after she went to the diary room, and obviously...
And she said that he's a danger zone.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you were hella nice to someone who's a danger zone.
Exactly. And then they were speaking about Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then Big Brother must have been like, all right, well, you know, who would you put up for eviction? And she said, you know, Louis. And then she's like, yeah, danger zone. So that means that, you know, she's obviously sussed up what's going on.
Yeah.
And she's threatened by him at the moment, but only because she feels like he seems to have some sort of power in here, and I don't understand why, but I am possibly a victim of that power.
Yeah. I think obviously she's understood. You know, when they announced that there were two other people before them, and they made it clear that those two people had been judging them. So she understood straight away that those two are quite powerful in the house. And I did see an effort for that as well, like to try to befriend him to some extent.
Yeah.
But I feel like it may stem from also her trying to make, to kind of say, hey, just in case you guys think I'm a threat, I'm friendly, I am nice. Because ZZ made it clear that, you know, sometimes she's judged for how cutthroat she is. And so I think she's trying to make it clear that I don't just have that personality. But I think it is, for me, it was like, yeah, you are trying quite hard, because I wouldn't be so open to someone who's nominated me the moment I walked in. That's me personally.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so everyone's kind of got their game hat on. And that's not wrong at all, because it's a game, especially a celebrity one. Play on. It's fair.
And in the bit where Sharon Osbourne was speaking to ZZ, they're getting to know each other, ZZ basically said that, you know, like she feels like it's harder for dark-skinned women in this entertainment industry. What's your opinion on that?
You know what? I was wondering, because... Well, I still don't know exactly who stood where when me and Noki were experiencing misogynoir or colorism. Where was ZZ's stance on that when...
Oh!
No, I'm being serious. What was her stance on that? Because I think when we talk about topics like this, it shouldn't just be limited to our own experience or my friend's personal experience.
Yeah.
It should be extended to all women who can and do experience that.
Yeah, but you felt like there was no commentary to defend you.
It's not that I felt like I haven't seen anything. And also, I knew of ZZ Mills before I went into the house. And I've always known that she's been quite vocal about colorism. But I tend to find that it's always limited to her personal experience, not really extended to other black women when you experience it in such big spaces. Mm-hmm. I know that there was some late in lives, and I have been told where there was quite a few iconic black women that I really look up to. Yinka Bikini, there was, I think, Charlene White, and there was... I'm forgetting someone else. But there was someone else in there, and they were quite vocal about, you know, the labelling and whatnot. I still need to watch that late in life properly.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to see black women speak of these issues when it doesn't just concern them, when you see it happening to other fellow black women. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's powerful to come in and have that conversation with Sharon, but it's also powerful to also point out when it is happening outside of you and your friends outside the club.
Yeah, so defend it online, basically.
Defend online everywhere. If that's what you say you're about, that's what you're about. When I say I'm for social justice, when I see an injustice socially, I speak up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to affect me personally. You know, there was moments in the house where I stood up for Kerry, or where I thought, that's unfair. Kerry shouldn't be going for that. She didn't like me. I know she didn't like me. But I don't like that behaviour, so I'll speak on it and say, I'm not comfortable with that. Do you know what I mean? And I think you have to be consistent and not just limit those things you speak about to you and yours.
Okay, cool. What are we thinking about Levi Root saying he has 8 children with 7 different baby mamas? Now, Mother's Day's around the corner, you know. This guy must be like Santa Claus, dropping into that mom, dropping gifts to that mom, dropping gifts to that mom. It's a madness.
You know what, I was like, okay, that is quite shocking. But at the same time, he comes across really charming.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he is
vibes.
I'm like, of course.
Let him cook me dinner. Like, I'm here for it. Is,
and he's got such a nice smile as well.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised, but I also thought, you know what? There's a lot of things that men used to get away with back then.
It probably
wouldn't slide now. You know, I think there's a certain generation, you hear something, you're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This would happen then. But in this day and age, I don't think you'd be quite able to get away with that. Yeah. But also, if you're in a public limelight, you are more likely to live that kind of like wild lifestyle.
Exactly.
If he sees it as wild, I do.
Exactly. Who's your favorite housemate at the moment?
Oh, I've got three. Okay.
Okay, go on.
David.
I love David.
Go first.
Go for it.
I love David because David, he owns who he is. He knows who he is. And I feel other housemates feel intimidated by that.
Yes.
Yes. But wait, when he came in, and I just thought he had like really short shorts or skirt. Apparently he had no trousers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case was, I was like, oh, me and my slutty style, I like that. Mm. He likes to show off legs. I have nice legs I have to show off. I like that. I like how he owned it. But what I didn't like, but also I understood, was how other people were quite intimidated by his confidence.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I saw Louis and Sharon kind of behaving that way. You know, sometimes when someone expresses a sense of freedom that you lack within yourself, you kind of feel a bit resentful that they have it.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like the vibe I was getting from the two of them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you guys really not like him? Or do you guys think because you wouldn't have the audacity to do it, that he shouldn't either, or the fact that he has is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how open he is. I like how he owns himself. He's also very like, yeah, listen, I'm opinionated. I may not like some people's opinion. And he reminds me of me in a way when I think someone was saying something about we all like each other. And he was like, yeah, but for now.
Yeah, because that's the truth. That's the truth.
That's literally something that I said when people were like, but we're all friends. We're all friends.
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, no, I don't know you guys.
Mm.
And the way things go in here, people don't all stay friends. And that was the reality. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people come out and they're like, I didn't know this person was saying this about me, because that's the truth. Do you know what I mean? So I really like David.
Yeah.
So far, he's my favorite. He's someone who I know I can trust you because you're a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I. I like you and I see you.
Yeah.
I also like Fern.
Yeah.
I love Fern. Fern is giving me very mummy, comforting. And she's also still got that interview style where I think
she's
pulling stuff
she's
out of people.
She's so, so good. I forgot to mention that. But did you see Gary trying to get the tea on Philip Schofield in This Morning?
Oh, no, that's what he...
Did you not see?
No.
So basically, Gary was like, oh, you know, what do you think of the whole situation? And then, but look.
You have to talk about your niece first.
Yeah, she basically...
Give and take. It's a game of give and take.
But she kind of ended up, she didn't say his name, obviously, but she kind of ended up saying, you know, oh, you know, imagine he was thrown in this house. And she's like, that'll be my cue to go. So it's
she's clearly not happy.
She's not feeling it. she's not feeling the vibes.
I hear that. I love her. And I love how she's exploring and talking to other housemates. And I think she's doing it in a way that Louis probably should follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because she may just be asking, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
But she's not asking like that. She's asking in other ways. She's getting to know people. She's humanizing them in the way she's getting to know them. And I really love that mummy comfort that she is giving them.
Yeah.
I really like that about her. And I also like Marisha.
Yes, I love her energy.
You know what? Being a joyful black woman is revolutionary.
I love her energy.
Let me repeat that again. Being a joyful black woman in the industry is revolutionary.
Appreciate it.
So when she walked in there with her happy self singing, and I was like, I love her.
Yeah, she's
I want to know more.
She's fine.
Like, I personally want like someone singing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it, girl, because that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that about her. So I would say definitely them three. I genuinely like Ekin-Su anyway, because I loved her from Love Island, but I would like to see more.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see the actual Ekin-Su that we know.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Do you know what? Earlier on, you did say that kind of like maybe she's just like containing it all a bit.
Yeah.
She needs to let loose and kind of like be the Ekin-Su that we all know.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, she may be quite traumatized from the breakup and stuff, because I know she mentioned it a little bit.
It's a lot.
I think sometimes when you're processing something big that's happening in your life, it's hard to give the best of yourself to other people. So. But hopefully, as we go, we'll see more.
Yeah. Do you know who I think is also going to be quite good in this? Who I've actually met before several times? Colson Smith from Coronation Street.
Oh, you know what? I don't know much about him.
I think he's going to be really, really good. So, like, from, like, meeting Coulson and speaking to him, I think he's actually quite, like, a really friendly, quite a soft and vulnerable character.
Okay.
He's been quite vocal on social media about, like, he's, like, lost a lot of weight and, like, kind of, like, focusing on his health and stuff. Mm. He's just, like, feel good vibes, really. So, I feel like...
It'll be nice to see more of that.
Yeah, I feel like as the days go on, we'll see a little bit more of Coulson as well. Like, I'm all here for it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's too early to say... which housemate is a little bit calculated? Which housemate is kind of like playing the game a bit? Like, which housemate is playing their like they like their game of chess?
It's not too early. I think you can pick up on housemates like that quite early. I mean, I picked up on the first few days
really
in the house I was in. I was like, okay, this one.
And who do we think?
Well, I sorry to say this, but I feel like Louis's mean girl act was an act a little bit.
Mm.
And then I think when it's not working, then he goes back into, oh no, I was just joking. I think like when he spoke to Laura and he's like, get off my bed, off my bed, off my bed. And then I think someone...
Yeah, why did he do that?
I don't know, but someone was like, that was too much. And he was like, oh no, no, no. Yeah, I'm just joking. It was like, kind of completely backtracked. I'm like, was that for entertainment? Like, is this a performance? Like I said, maybe I don't remember Louis in X Factor being quite mean. Because I remember him being quite gentle. I know he had, sometimes he had weird humor, but I remember him kind of being like, oh, Louis is someone I'll definitely hang out with. Mm. But in a Big Brother house, I'm like, oh, you're being kind of mean. And then Two-Face as well. Like you really did encourage Sharon to choose Zizi. And then you turn to Zizi and you're like, oh, it wasn't me.
Why did he do that? He literally lied, like we saw you. We saw you on camera, literally just, no, put her.
No, but it's so funny because I think you forget that you are on camera sometimes.
Really?
The way people be backtracking and lying, it's actually quite shocking.
So it's easy to forget in there that you're on camera?
It's actually easy to forget you're on camera, unless you're just conscious that you have to maintain a certain persona. You can forget.
But that's hard to keep up for weeks on end, though.
And that's why you get to see people lie. Because you're like, did you forget that you can't? Did you forget that we saw that scene of you? Because it's hard to keep up. It's literally hard to keep up, but Big Brother's watching.
Big Brother's always watching. So what's next for Trish? Oh, you're doing your podcast. Tell us about that. What's it going to be about?
Okay, so I'm working on my podcast, putting my podcast together. Mm. I can't say too much because I don't want to limit myself as well.
Of course,
we're still kind of putting the ground in. But we're definitely going to be having interesting conversation. We're going to be doing a lot of self-help. We're going to be discussing social issues, controversial stuff, or what's deemed as controversial. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get Trish's unfiltered opinions
You're
as well?
You're going to get my unfiltered opinion. Mm-hmm. You're going to like, because... I think the thing about me as well is I'm very forward and sometimes I can make people feel uncomfortable. So I guess I have to create my own platform, give myself my own platform where I'm able to do that and express that freely. That's something I'm looking forward to doing and I'm really excited about doing that. What else? But I'm just kind of looking to
see... Living life and
living life,
yourself.
But also I want to be in spaces where I am appreciated. Do you know what I mean? So I'm accepting invitations to podcasts and stuff like that and events and stuff. But it has to be something that kind of it aligns with who I am as well. Do you know what I mean? Working with my agent, my talent manager to kind of get work out there. But I'm doing things differently. I'm doing things with my own time as well. Like I said, my experience coming out was very much different to all the other housemates. Yeah, I am taking my time, but I'm also working. I'm also a mom.
Yeah.
I just want to highlight that. So it takes a lot of my time, especially being a mom to an autistic child. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there. So I am focused on motherhood. I'm focused on building my future. And
yeah, well, look, I and we cannot wait to see the rise and rise of Trish. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. And I am rising. I am rising. No, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.